when we say that he is worth our gifts. And not just the giving, but also how we use those gifts to serve the kingdom of God is a form of worship. And we sometimes tend to forget that. And so every so often, we invite one of the elders to come forward and give a report on just how we are doing and how we're using the money. And so that's what we're going to do today. And I'd like to invite one of our elders, James, to come up to the front. And he's going to give you a report on what's been happening in terms of our finances.
Thanks. Thanks, Pastor Jim. Good morning, church. How's everyone doing today? Good. Happy Chinese New Year. I want to make sure I got this ready to go. Okay. I'm here to present the financial updates for January 1st to December 31st, 2019. So let's start with the income and expenses. So as you can see, these changes quite a bit in December. If you recall, at the end of November, the general fund has a deficit of over $85,000. But because of significant offering in December, we managed to come up with a surplus of $19,825. Okay. So I got two clickers here, so I'm trying to... One's a pointer, and the other one is the... So I might not use the pointer because I got to use this to change the slides. Okay. General fund disbursement. So as you saw the previous slide, we dispersed about $790,000. This slide shows the areas which church spends the funds on, the largest being staff expenses, so 75% of our total disbursements. So in the blue, as you can see, is the staff. As you go down the list, hold on, let me see if I can point this. There you go. See my red? Okay. So as you go down the list, it's staff, office, repair, maintenance, utility, maintenance, children's, district option, operation budget, insurance, general affairs, worship, youth, evangelism. As you go down the list, and that's kind of the order of where the fund got their spurs, but mostly is the staff. 75% of it is been given out, okay? Next slide. We had an income. This is the mission fund's income expenses. So income versus expenses for January, December. We had an income of $120,905. We spent about $113,537. So with a net surplus of $7,368. Where do we spend the $113,000? This is the missions fund disbursement of January and December. This slide shows a breakdown where we spent these funds. The top four slices of the pie is a total of approximately $95,000, or about 83% that went towards the missions trip. So it should, since we are the CNMA missionary being our middle name, that's where the funds went. This is the building fund and income expenses, income versus expenses. So this slide tells you about, we had about a $90,497 in income and $76,548 in expenses, leaving a net surplus of $1,349, okay? Basically, there are three areas where we disperse the funds to. Where it goes into the building fund income expenses, we had a 90,000, as you can see, this bulk of disbursements we are paying down on the principal. First of all, the principal of our loan district is the one in the blue, followed by the interest of that loan, of the loan interest, is the one in the yellow. And then the last is the property improvement fund. So this is where we spent the money from. That kind of breaks down on the three on the pie here. Okay. This is the benevolent fund income expenses. We received $43,291 in income and paid out of $34,110 in expenses, funds that we disperse to the benevolent areas as followed. So income coming in of $43,291, paid out of $34,110, and that's our surplus right now. This is the disbursement. Yes, as you can see, the bulk of the disbursement, we're paying down the loan. Sorry about that. Benevolent fund disbursement, as you can see, three categories dispersed is the members' assistance, the Christmas food cards. So the Christmas food cards is what we had given out to the low-income Christmas cards. We do in Christmas time. The member assistance is the low-income people that we go out and disperse. And the school lunch program is we do the breakfast with the Glen Eagle Elementary School that they can't afford any breakfast. They have a program there that we give the money and support the school there at the Glen Eagle Elementary. Okay. So this is a summary of all four funds. As you can see, combining four funds, we are grand total of $1,046,000 in income that we paid out to about $995,676 in expenses. So we had a net surplus of $50,000 of $323 in the benevolent fund. So that's a great amount to have at the end of the year because God is did great things, and we had a lot of people are donating in the Christmas time, so that really helped. So what we're going to do with that money, as the board in the meeting, we decided that we're going to put half of the money of $50,000 to pay off the loan of that portion, and in the other half, we're going to keep it in the contingency funds for future, okay? So this is the general fund monthly breakdown of the next four slides. I'll be showing you that how we did monthly basis as with respect to the income versus the expenses. As you can see in the general, there are 4 months where the income exceeded expenses of February, September, November, and December. So our income expenses throughout the year are pretty much consistent with the exception of December, which is more triple than the average monthly income. Okay. This slide shows the funds monthly. There are 9 months where the income exceeded the expense. Only May and July and November, as you can see on the slide, the expenses were more than income. This was due to the, first of all, purchase of the Envision air tickets in May, if you remember that, okay? Second, remitted to the Global Advance in the Envision trip in July. And also, thirdly, is we remitted to the Global Advance in November. You guys kind of following? Yes? Okay. This slide shows the monthly building monthly funds. Pretty much is consistent with the 11 months, but then thanks to the generous offering in December, that's why we're able to finish with the surplus in December. Okay, so as you can see, the bar shows the actual income is in blue in 2019, and the actual expenses are in the orange. Pretty leveled consistent throughout the year until the very end. That's why we had the spike of the income with the $50,000 income. This is the benevolent fund monthly income and expenses. So the spike in May in both income and expenses was a result of donation received and dispersed to the family. If you remember Pastor Tom Young, I don't know if you remember that, Pacific Grace Church, that he was killed in the vehicle accident at the Peace Corps. So that's why, if you can see the income that came in May, that we had to, we donated that money to that church for the family and the church, okay? Last but not least, this is the summary of our loan district, with the district. So we reduced the principal by about $52,000 in 595, which now leaves us with the owing of 504,597 at the moment. But because of the, I believe we're going to pay down some of the loans, so that should go down a bit coming this year, okay? And that's the end of the slide for this presentation. Thank you, church.
Let's just take a few seconds to pray. Father, we thank you for the people that bless us with the kinds of offerings they give us. And right now, Holy Spirit, I would just say, continue to inform us as to how we can use that money, all those funds, to further the kingdom of God, because that's what it's all about. These are your resources that you've given to us, and we give them back to you. Father, I also think these days, as we come move close to our message time, that there are people in our congregation that need support and guidance today. And we would ask that your Holy Spirit would be upon them and touch them. There are people in our congregation who have health issues. We would ask that you would help them as well. Heal, yes. Heal if that's in your will. But at support and strength for those people today. Father, we also know that there are people who need guidance and decisions and things of that particular nature. And we would ask your Spirit to move among them. We need your Spirit. We need your Spirit in all the things we do, in our giving and in our lives, on a weekly and daily, moment-by-moment basis. And so we give them to you, all of these people. We also think of our world right now and the fears of things such as this coronavirus and all of the things that are happening around us that seem strange. Help us to have a proper focus on that, to see it with kingdom eyes and to understand it. And right now, as we move to the message and Pastor Ray comes to speak, I would ask a blessing especially on him and on his words, and that his words would have the meanings to us that you desire that they have. And so we ask you to bless both him and the words that he brings today. And we ask that all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Jim. Does anyone know why, other than looking good and me liking this red jacket, I would wear this today? Any guess? It's Chinese New Year, right? So therefore, happy Chinese New Year, and God bless you and be with you always. However, in the secular world, you wouldn't say God bless you when you're saying Chinese New Year. You would say what? Happy Chinese New Year, 恭喜发财, which means great prosperity and wealth to you, right? Now, usually I don't really like people greeting me with 恭喜发财 or great wealth, because pastors usually don't get rich, right? If pastors all of a sudden get rich, they either inherited it, which is bad news for the family, or they won the lottery, which I would be out of the job, right? But at the same time, sometimes I wish I was rich, right? That I can buy the toys I want and live lavishly. It is that internal struggle between our sinful nature and then that of the unity with God. Now, today we're talking about prayer and spiritual warfare. If you're able to, please welcome everyone to stand up with me and read the scripture together. Ready? One, two, three. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always come praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me. Whatever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may carry it fearlessly as I should. May God bless his word. You guys may be seated. Now, has there anyone been a time in our lives where we feel that we seek a greater purpose in life? Like, what is that individual purpose in this great cosmic order that God has created? Where do we belong? Where do we fit in all this? Now, the book of Ephesians is to deliver the message of divine purpose being accomplished by the mighty acts of God in Christ. It holds a relevant answer for our struggle, for the meaning in our mortal lives. The central theme of Ephesians is that all things are created in perfect unity in Jesus Christ. Ephesians, a letter that was written almost 2,000 years ago. However, humans of every age suffer the same struggle of power. The powers of evil versus the good, stirring in our hearts and minds, playing tug of war. And too often, in smaller struggles, like calling in sick because the snow outside is too big. Whatever the struggle, too often we feel caught in between, and we're helpless. We felt helpless. Regardless of the hostility of warfare from within or without, we need that deliverance. Supporting the central theme of Ephesians, it is what we obtain that liberty through Christ. Last week, Pastor Paul talked about prayer and unity through John 17. That it doesn't matter if we eat barbecue pig or if we eat pizza, but the main point is that we celebrate Pastor Joe's ministry here at Westwood in unity. Ephesians can be broken down in two parts. Chapters 1 to 3 primarily focuses on God's display of power through the risen and the victorious Christ. A prayer by Paul that the people will be unified in Christ. If Ephesians is the understanding and acceptance of Christ's body, then chapters 4 to 6 is the living out of Christ's body, the practicality of day-to-day interaction between believers and the non-believing world. Today's text is taken from Ephesians 6:10-20. Now, for those who are seasoned Christians, have at least come across this passage once. In fact, you guys are probably so used to this passage that you might have memorized it. However, brothers and sisters, knowing is one thing and living out is another thing. Strength in the Lord. Now, the first point, many people will quickly glance over the first verse in this new section, verse 10. Before Paul goes on going to tell us the armor of God, before he talks about the spiritual warfare against the devil's evil schemes, before even commanding us to pray and be watchful, Paul starts off with, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Now, the word used by Paul cannot be mistaken. That is the final stage or the final phase of an instruction, of a list of instructions. Instead, it's best described as from now on, henceforth, in the time that remains. It is an introduction to an advice that outlines that Paul wants his readers to do this from now on. Because without relying on the strength of the Lord and his mighty power, it doesn't matter how thick our armor is. It doesn't matter how sharp our sword is. It is the will of God that allows us to win our battles, not our strength. In Ephesians 1:17-23, Paul told his readers that he constantly prays and urges for God to give the people the understanding of God's power. That power that raised Christ from the dead. The same power that gave Christ the authorities all over, which is all under his feet. That he appointed him to be the head of the church. Now here in 6:10, Paul revisits the concept of God's power and a concept that it is that his power is available in Christ. However, Paul moves on beyond understanding to action, urging and pleading his readers to grow strong in the Lord and his might. Romans 4:20 reminded that Abraham grew strong in the faith. 2 Timothy 2:1, just as Timothy should, grow strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we're not just to stay stagnant in strength, but to grow in strength in Christ. To put on the armor of God available by God. However, it must be made clear that Ephesians 3:16, that growth is not self-dependent, but is the strengthened, empowered by God, a free gift. And how do we do this? It is to put on and stand firm. In a similar manner, it urges us in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. Now, having said all these, you might have a question in mind. So, what's a spiritual warfare? And how do we grow in strength in God and his mighty power? As I stated earlier, Ephesians 4:6 is the application. It is the walk the walk to chapters 1 to 3, talk the talk. It is how the world sees Christ in us through our everyday lives. If we quickly browse through chapters 4 to 6, you get unity and maturity in the body of Christ. Which makes sense, right? The devil wants to break that unity within the church, Christ's body. Instructions for the Christian living. Makes sense, right? The devil wants us to be as far as possible away from God as possible. And finally, instructions for Christian households, which to me is the hardest of the three. Because the closest people to us is the easiest to have that heated discussion and that disagreement. Let's face it, we all know our household members best. And the devil uses these relationships to attack us. The number of times we have an argument with our parents, our children, our siblings, right? Husbands and wives takes years to learn how to live with each other. Now, two Mondays ago, Andy and I took a trip to Cedar Springs and Sumas, stateside, for a enrichment camp. Now, you all know that on Sunday, the previous day, it was a snowstorm. And that snowstorm carried on to the Monday, right? So, Monday morning, opened the door, snow was like knee-high. So, I started hesitating and think if we still should go drive all the way down to Sumas, to Cedar Springs, right? So we called the organizer, and the organizer said, the camp's still going on. The 12 other couples are still going and from Canada. Now, it wasn't black and white, but I had a gut feeling that all these 12 other couples were older than me, right? And being a prideful man myself, thinking, these older couples are willing to drive all the way from Canada, well, like Vancouver, Greater Metro Vancouver, and down to the States, Cedar Springs, in a snowstorm, and yet I'm here too scared to leave in my garage, right? I can't have this. I need to save my face, right? Now, so we decided to go. But before heading out the door, my mom asked us, are you still going to camp in the snowstorm? Now, right there and then, I knew my mom's heart that she didn't want us to go because she feared of the snowstorm, that we get in accidents or something like that for our safety. So we started to have a small, heated discussion, right? And I myself was torn because I didn't want to lose face, but yet I want to listen to my mom, right? And then Andy and I started to have a heated conversation because I couldn't make it up my mind. We didn't even have mood, right? Or the heart to pray for guidance. We were experiencing a spiritual warfare. Now, eventually, Andy and I decided to go to that camp, and because we felt that it would enrich and benefit our marriage. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to the camp or staying home during a snowstorm, right? But the point is the devil doesn't have to use evil schemes to attack us. He can turn good intentions into his tool to separate us from God, just like how he tricked Adam and Eve. Have you ever experienced before leaving home to church for to serve or for fellowship, and all of a sudden you are in an argument or you're verbally fighting with your spouse or your children or your parents? Have you ever been conflicted to speak out about your faith in your workplace or a school place? All these are spiritual warfare. But remember, like Paul reminds us, the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, be on your guard, stand firm in faith, be courageous, and be strong. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Number two, preparation in the Lord. Because this battle is not of flesh and blood, because it is the war against the evil schemes, evil spiritual powers, it is necessary to take up the full armor of God. Up until now, Paul's meaning in the Ephesian text is not on the victory itself, because the victory is already been won through Christ, the resurrection of Christ, but on the preparation, the preparing, and the precaution that must be made in order to obtain that victory, to put on the armor of God. In Sun Tzu's Art of War, it says, the war is won before it was ever fought. Refers to the preparation, positioning, and the planning that makes the difference in the success of war. Likewise, regardless if it's physical warfare or spiritual warfare, Paul reminds us, mentions that we must prepare ourselves, that when the day that evil comes, we are able to stand against it and stand firm in God's strength and his power. Now, Paul draws the spiritual warfare in comparison to human warfare, via armor and weapons in the Old Testament. The belt of truth. The belt or the girdle holds the shirt or the long shirt together so that the soldier can move freely. It also provides a place to hang the sword. Imagery here is that it is the foundation, the truth is the foundation that is built on, that it holds everything together. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is the guarding the most vital parts of the body. A Christian protects himself with righteousness. Because of our faith in Christ, God sees us righteous. We are regenerated, made into new creations by Christ dwelling within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Feet fitted with the gospel. Two things. With the gospel, the believer is prepared for all difficulties. It doesn't matter the road in front of them is the valley. It doesn't matter if it's the mountains. It doesn't matter if it's the barren desert. We are fitted for the gospel. Two, we must be ready to carry the gospel wherever we go. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. The shield of faith. The shield is the first piece of equipment that Paul specifies a purpose with which extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, in ancient warfare, the shield was a critical equipment for survival. It doesn't matter if it's close combat or it doesn't matter if it's flaming arrows. But it stands for faith. For by grace, we are saved through faith in Christ Jesus. Have access to God through faith. Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, the common faith that binds us together in unity. It is the grace of God. It is that through faith we are saved. That is because of the very same faith that we can defend ourselves from the evil one. The helmet of salvation. The helmet symbolizes God's power and his readiness to save, worn by Christians as a guarantee of divine protection and assuredness that we are to be delivered. Salvation is not only a forgiveness of our past sins, but also of our future, our current. It's conquer those sins, to overcome them. The sword of the Spirit. The Spirit provides the sword to the believer, and this sword is the Word of God. Jesus resisted Satan's temptations with the Word of God, with Scripture. We need to understand that the Word of God is more than just Scripture. The words of the Bible are made alive by the Spirit for our growth and witness, to counsel us, to exhortation to others. It is how God speaks to us and shepherds us. Now, I might not be an athlete, but I watch a lot of sports. Lately, I have been keeping an eye on the Australian Open tennis. I came across between a match between Serena Williams and Wang Chang. Now, if you don't know tennis, Serena Williams is an all-star player. She sports 39 Grand Slam titles, 23 which are single matches, compared to Wang Chang, which has 0 Grand Slam titles, and is a freshman compared to Williams. In their last match last year, Williams embarrassed Wang, beating her 6-1, 6-0. Now, on Thursday's match last week, Williams was projected to win that game against Wang without a sweat. However, Wang stunned the world by beating Williams 2-1 in a tooth-biting match. Williams fans were disbelieved, right? While Wang's fans were cheering and with great passion. Now, no one really knows what kind of rigorous training regime Wang went through between last year and this year. But one thing's guaranteed. Both her mental and physical state were ready and prepared for this match. After winning the match against Williams, the reporter asked her, "Happy Chinese New Year. Will you celebrate Chinese New Year?" She said, "No, I must prepare for my next match." The time that Wang put into mental and physical preparation for this tennis game, I bet is no much more less than any other athlete. If athletes were willing to put so much effort, so much time to train their bodies, to train their minds for a sports game, how much more rigorous training that we need to put in are for our spiritual warfare? Tennis or any sports, our matches are planned. They know when the match is coming. But instead, for spiritual warfare, you never know when the devil is going to come attack us. He will come like a thief and stab us in our backs. Think back to when you were leaving church and you were having the argument. Did you plan for the argument? No, right? So we need to put on our roots in the truth and bear in God's righteousness. Carry the gospel, the faith that defends us via the Christ. That God is our salvation and fend off the evil with the word of God. Lastly, be watchful and on guard. Paul have moved away from the imagery of divine armor and seems to have moved on to something totally different, prayer. And that relationship between the prayer and the armor of God. Now, I know what some of you guys might be thinking. Yes, Pastor Ray, I know my mom is a woman and my dad is a man and the earth is round and as Christians, we need to pray, right? But then the question becomes, how is the armor of God, which was so graciously given to us, linked with prayer? Now, do not be mistaken with prayer to be the seventh piece of the armor. Paul makes it clear that grow in strength and to don the divine armor and stand firm in the battle against the dark forces, that we need to root ourselves in the dependency and a dedication on God in prayer. Believers are to pray at all times, inspired and guided by the Spirit, whom it is ticket to God the Father. Not only we need to pray in the Spirit, but also in alert or to be watchful and pray. Mark 14:38, Jesus in Gethsemane tells the sleeping Peter to watch and pray. Luke in 21:36, as Luke was watching constant activity, he prays for the strengthening. 1 Peter 4:7 states that we need to deny the spiritual sleep of the darkness in this age. If we fail to keep awake, and get entangled and absorbed in this world and age, we are hindering ourselves and devastating our prayer life. Ephesians 18 makes it clear, praying in the Spirit on all occasions, it brings a notion of perseverance and persistence. The earlier passages emphasizes on God's provision of resources. Now it stresses on the effort to be of believers to be self-disciplined, in order to avoid the spiritual complacency and the fatigue that we need to root ourselves and pursue the life of prayer. Whether it be through catalytic conversion of faith or simple explicit yes to the gentle wooing yet persistent of God's love, we have access to incomparable power of prayer, that every day we breathe the air of freedom. We're not worrying about our past sins. Our conscience is cleansed by repentance. Repenting in prayer enables us to receive the life-giving power of forgiveness. No longer are we our slaves to our weakness, but in our weakness we are made strong. We don't rely on our own power, but to fully rely on the power of Christ that lives within us. Now, today is the second day of the 15 days of the Chinese New Year. And this year is the year of the rat, starting the 12-year cycle. Each year is represented by an animal. Think of it as a Western zodiac, but instead of months, the Chinese count it as years. But like Western zodiac, Chinese zodiac has astrology reading itself too, where depending on your zodiac sign, the fortune teller would tell you your fortune depending on your animal or your animal year. They tell you fortune, what we have for the day or for that year. This phenomenon is so deep rooted into Chinese culture that when you watch Chinese New Year TV shows, they will have a segment of fortune teller that will tell you your fortune for the year according to your animal sign. Now, would you be tempted to listen to a zodiac fortune? To know when you get that perfect job? To know when you would get promoted or get a raise? Or would you be tempted to do that zodiac personality test to see if that test say is true about yourself, is true? This is also a type of spiritual warfare. We might think that watching or clicking into that Facebook horoscope link that is only for reference. However, remember how Paul reminds us that this is not a war of flesh and blood, but against the dark rulers of authorities of the spiritual realm. Regardless if it's opening that small gap or opening that door wide open, you're still opening that door. Clicking on that questionable link on Facebook, you're still opening a door to a virus attack. Remember, if it's not God speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, then it's the devil disguising himself. And I guarantee you, God does not speak to you through a fortune teller. Therefore, pray on all occasions and be watchful what enters our minds and hearts. Now, Paul concludes the armor of God segment, urging his readers to pray, to be alert. Not only that, Paul pleads his readers to earnestly pray, but pray for his ministry and his gospel that which he brings. Paul brings back the notion of unity back to the summary. More specifically, the prayer to conclude the armor of God, to conclude the Ephesian letter. Before anything, Paul urges us to be strong in God and his mighty power, so that through all God's provisions that we can prepare ourselves for the incoming spiritual warfare with the truth that lays on the foundation, the righteousness that he sees in us because of Christ, so that our feet can bring the gospel to fend off projectiles with our faith, that the gift of salvation from God, and to win the spiritual warfare with the word of God. However, be ever watchful and on guard, because you never know when the next attack comes. Now, two questions for us today. Number one, for the week, and to bring to you small groups or fellowships. How have you prepared, positioned, and planned yourselves in upcoming spiritual battles that their arrival is not yet made known? Looking back to previous spiritual warfare experiences, How have you grown in God and trusting His mighty power? Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for bringing us here today to your place of worship. Lord, spiritual warfare might be hard for us, Lord. But Lord, teach us, be with us, speak to us through the Holy Spirit so that we may know how to wear your armor, that we can base our faith on the truth, the foundation, that we know that the righteousness, you see us as righteous, that we fend off arrows and attacks from the devil with the faith, and that we know that your salvation is forgiveness of past, present, and future sins, and that we fight off the devil with your word, Lord. Lord, pray that, thank you for blessing us. Pray that when as we depart the church, be with us and give us strength, Lord, to fight the upcoming battles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ray, for those good words and reminders. Would you stand, please, for the benediction? And it struck me as Pastor Ray was speaking, it seemed appropriate that we should look to our benediction from Ephesians as well. So Ephesians chapter 3 says this to us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Just a couple of quick notices to you out of the announcements. Of course, you know, always we will invite you to join us for coffee afterwards in the connections room. But there's several there that I think I have to at least make mention of. As you know, it's the flu season, but of course we also have this concern for the coronavirus and what all is coming with that. So just a couple of thoughts. As you can read there, there are a limited quantity of masks. And the other thing that we're recommending is that two things. Number one, we say, if you're sick, please stay home. There is no gold star for showing up at church for so many weeks in a row and getting everybody else sick, okay? There's no gold star for that, right? If you're sick, you can pray at home, okay? And that's just because we have to be especially careful of some people who do have illnesses and who are susceptible to any of these kinds of things. Second thing is that we're recommending that you don't shake hands with people, okay? People say fist bump or whatever. Do what you have to just to make sure people know you care. But let's avoid shaking hands at least for a while until this whole thing kind of settles down, okay? Couple of other important issues. Your receipts are available, as it says. The offering receipts for the last month is just the kinds of things we were talking about earlier. There's still some spots, 15-minute spots, I think, on the 24-hour prayer chain. Don't forget the memorial, okay, for Hansel and Gretel on next Saturday, actually. We will take an offering next week with the bags, which is a change. The other ones that are of note that I really want to point out, though, to you are the baptism and membership class. Remember that we only do this a couple of times a year, and so if you want to be baptized or you want to become a member, you have got to get on it. And you can talk to Pastor Ray or to Pastor Larry, and they'll get you sorted on to how to get going with it. But you can't wait. You got to get moving on this quickly. And the other thing is, for those of you who would be between the ages of 18 and 32, if you haven't considered the Envision Summit trip, you should also talk to Pastor Ray about that as well. That's a wonderful experience, and I think the people who went the last year would all say, "Oh yeah, you got to go if you feel like you know the church is yours and you really belong and you have a role to play here. You got to go." Okay, so talk to Pastor Ray about that as well. And I'll leave the rest of the announcements to you. Do read through them. There's quite a number of important ones there and the like. So take a few seconds for quiet prayer. Thank God for all the things he has done. Thank God for this church. And then you can exit and meet us for coffee. Thank you.